Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point today. Glad that you're here. And those of you worshiping with us online, thank you for worshiping that way and tuning in. So just a couple of minutes, we're going to go Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, as we're walking verse by verse through the book of Colossians. And today we're talking about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. It goes so well with what is upon us here this next week with school and weeks ahead. And so I want to take just a few moments before I get to Colossians 3 and teach through this. I want to take a moment and I want us to pause. I want us to pray together today specifically for all those who are going back to school, our teachers. We have a number of teachers across the three services that are going to be going back, already have gone back, and kids will be back this week, if not this week, the following week. So I want us to pause and pray for our teachers in our school systems and college and beyond as they re-engage administration, also people that are back in there and re-engaging. Kids Zone Academy, Emily Henson and her team, and they're preparing for their new semester. So Ministry of Grace Point, we want to pray for them first and foremost. So I want to do that. And then I also want to pray for parents and kids as this all starts back up. I know for many this week ahead of us. And then for some of you parents, you're taking your kids to college and dropping them off, and it may be the first year. We've done that, been there and done that, and that can certainly be, it's an exciting time, but it's also a time of transition, so it can be a bit of a hard time. So I want us to also pray for those that are going to be doing that soon. Okay, so will you join me? Just their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Let's a lot on us there, and you can pray as I'm praying if you'd like. The Father, today we pause and we do think of, first of all, I think of the teachers, so many here at Grace Point that have been preparing and readying themselves in their classrooms and all the details and hours that have already been put in preparing for this week and in the weeks to come. So we're praying today for them, Lord. Would you give them rest today? This peace we're talking about in your word today that passes all understanding, may it rule in their hearts today and in the days ahead. Encourage them, Lord, this week. Strengthen them this week. Bless them this week. And may they have an overwhelming sense of your presence in the hallways and in the classrooms, in all ways and in all things. May your presence, God, just cover them in a way that is so clear that they are encouraged, they're blessed, and they're hopeful. So we pray that for these teachers, administrators, for parents, and for the kids as things ramp back up. They go back to school, and for many the first time in a year maybe, and there might be anxiety and unsettledness. But God, we pray your peace over them. For those that are kids are starting kindergarten or middle school or high school or college and all that goes with those different stages. But you are reigning over all things, God, and nothing catches you by surprise. You have made a way for each one of these children, regardless of where they're at in their stage of life. So thank you, God, for the promise of your provision and for the gospel, your heart for us, for these kids as they go back. So we pray this will be a blessed year, Father, in every way. We look to you now, and not just today, but in the days ahead. We look to you, God. We're thankful that you're sovereign, you're in control, and may we just rest there today and in these days and weeks ahead. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. May you speak to us. Give us ears to hear well today, God, to see you working in all ways. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. We pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we just continue to pray through this week and in the weeks ahead for our schools and all that's involved there. Let me mention a couple other things before we jump into this. August 15th, so next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. We have people already signed up for that. You still have time to sign up. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, you made that decision, responded to the gospel, but not been baptized by immersion, we would love the opportunity to talk with you about that. You can sign up out in the lobby. If you want to sign up out in the lobby in our information center, you can sign up there and we can be in touch with you. We'll get in touch with you. Or you can sign up. You can go to gpsignup.com. gpsignup.com. There'll be a baptism graphic designed there. You click on that and it'll take you to a place where you can sign up, and then we'll reach out to you and be in touch with you about baptism and answer any questions that you might have about baptism. So next Sunday, Baptism Sunday, August the 15th. Backpacks. Week before, we had our big backpack giveaway. Over 1,000 people showed up. We gave away over 500 backpacks. We had a couple hundred left. And so Pastor Rigo, Casa Adobe, who we partnered with, said, hey, we're doing haircuts. Yesterday they did them. We're doing haircuts August 7th, so we could take the backpacks, kind of push out through social media. We just have these left. Be glad to give them away. So they had their thing yesterday morning. He texted me and said, Pastor Dave, we gave away 200 backpacks in 20 minutes. They were gone. So that's 735 backpacks that you gave, and we packed, and have all been put in the hands of kids. In addition to that, they do haircuts every year as a ministry for kids. You have to sign up for that. Otherwise, he said they'd be overrun. So he said, in addition to that, they did around 50-ish haircuts for kids, which is a great ministry. He said, we prayed for kids, people. We shared the gospel. We invited them to Casa Adobes. They had a great day of ministry. So it's been a good ministry that we did these last couple weeks with Casa Adobes. And Pastor Rico says thank you to Grace Point for connecting with them and being a part as we've done this ministry together. So we look forward to next year. Next year will be big as we just continue this every year. Backpacks, filling backpacks and giving them away to kids in need. Okay, last thing, last but not least, September the 12th. I want to encourage you to circle September the 12th, sunny September 12th. Make plans to be in church. You're here. Those online, I'm going to invite you to say, come and join us on September the 12th. I know summer, we're winding down summer. Last year has been crazy for so many reasons, but I really want to just dial in on September 12th and say, let's make this the day that everybody comes back home and worships together on Sunday, September the 12th. So I'm praying we'll have over 1,000 people. I don't think that's unrealistic at all. 800 to 900 pre-COVID, and we're getting closer. We're starting to get our people back. But there's still a lot of people that need to come home. And so I really want to push on that, say, come home and be a part of Sunday, September 12th, we can reach easily over 1,000 people. And listen, when I say 1,000 people, it's not just about the number of people we want to reach. Behind every number is a person. And we have an incredible gospel message of hope to share with many. Amen? So we should share that with as many people. In a city our size, saying 1,000 people on Sunday morning should be an easy thing to do. We ought to go way past that. With this message, it's not about how many people we can get. It's how many people can we get the message to, the good news, the gospel message. And so I want to push and push and push and continue to reach more and more and more and more people with this gospel message, with this good news. It's biblical. I think we have a calling to do that. And I want them to come and I want them to hear the gospel message. I want them to meet you. I want them to meet Christ. I want them to be saved and baptized. And God transforms lives. And so September 12th, we're kind of pointing it towards that. So what you're seeing here behind me on the screen is give church a chance. Here's this, a three-prong approach, and we're going to get in the message that I want to try. So this card will go out to about 30,000 people. This is going to be a mail out on the front, give church a chance. So this is trying to reach the lost, right? So we're going to go, you know, disciple the saved, reach the lost. So this is the way that we want to try to reach people who are not involved in church and really, frankly, who don't know Christ. Right? They're not believers. So we're sending this out to say, hey, give it a chance, man. Come on, give church a chance. Just like in the scriptures, they've said to people, come and see. I met Jesus, come and see. Give church a chance. So that's what this focus is. You get one in your mailbox. That's the idea, is it's mainly to those who are not saved, who are not involved in a local church. So we're saying, hey, come and give church a chance, Sunday, September 8, 9, 30, 11. The second group we want to reach would be our Grace Point people. So this one's going to land in your mailbox for sure, regardless of where you live, if you're a part of Grace Point Church. This is going out to reconnect with everybody who's a part of the Grace Point family. And I know, as I wrote on the back of this, it's kind of a church-wide mail out. that there's I know there's a lot of reasons why we can get out of the habit of going this past year, and it's easy to do so, but September 12th, hey, make it a point to come back home. We miss you. You're part of the family. Come reconnect with us on Sunday, September 12th, 8, 9, 30, 11. So this will go to our Grace Point family. And then last thing, which I'll have for you next week, I'll pass out, have them now, but we'll pass them out next week, is even a more personal thing. These are what we'll give to us here. The other two are mail outs. This is for us to be able to personally invite people to come and be a part of Grace Point Church. So people that aren't going to church anywhere, I want to be clear about that. Okay, they're not going to church anywhere, neighbors, coworkers, family, friends, whatever, and say, hey, I'd love for you to come and join us Sunday, September 12th. That's kind of our everybody come home, everybody come be a part of, give church a chance, come and be a part, and come sit with me. Because listen, a lot of people, it's hard. They don't know the Lord. They're lost people, or they're not connected. Just coming to church is not an easy thing. And then sometimes it's like, well, I don't really have anybody to sit with. That can be a big deal. And so you're going to be able to take that card and say, hey, come join us, and then come sit with me. Come sit with me. Come sit with me and my family. And then you're going to meet them wherever here, out in the lobby at whatever time before the service, have time to come in, and then have them sit with you. And it's just another way. This is more personal, right, to give to people to say, love for you to come to Grace Point Church and worship with us Sunday, September 12th. Come sit with me, okay? All right, you'll hear more about that. We're going to start pushing that out on social media. September 12th, big. Everybody come home, and let's all worship together. All right, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to do verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Now I'm going to start reading verse 14. I'll go through 17. Here's the deal. I always talk to you about context of Scripture. This is no different. So verse 15, let me just read it first. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So a lot of times, if we're not careful, we want to just kind of take that verse, take it, and we just set it over here. And I want to focus on that one thing because it talks about peace. And I want the peace of God in my life. I need peace. Everything going on around me, I need peace. And I get that, right? But to really understand it, we have to leave it kind of right in the middle of where it is. And you need to remember what we just studied before it and then what we're going to be studying next week after it. Because it hinges on these things that surround it. So it was very intentional, clearly, when Paul wrote. So let's start in verse 14. And above all these, and we talked about this last week, right, put it on the new life. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay, so that's leading into what he's going to talk about, the peace of God. Right? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, now I'm going to go back and teach on that one in just a minute. But then verse 16, now I would argue that in order to do 15, you got to do verse 16, right? So it's leading us into, starts with loving and the peace, and now let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So that's going to hinge, that's going to be fundamental for you to letting the peace of Christ rule in your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, dwell and richly. We'll talk about it next week. Okay, there's implications of that, or it's not just a touch and go deal, okay? Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'll show you next week, but one of the key things too is if you look in verse 15, the last part, and be thankful. So I circled that word in my Bible. Now you go to verse 16, middle part, or towards the end, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There it is twice in two passages. That gets your attention. What's going on here? I see a pattern. And whatever you do in the word, verse 17, or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. There it is again. So you see, I'm studying that, I'm going, well, three times in three verses, he speaks to this issue of thankfulness and gratefulness. Okay, that gets my attention. So that's going to influence then, I think, a lot of going on here. One is verse 15, peace of Christ rule in my heart. Now, we're going to get to that and be thankful part in verse 15 next week. We're going to have time for that today. So I want to say this up front. this issue with the peace of God, I've taught on this on a Sunday afternoon once for an hour and a half, and I've taught other sermons on it before, and this one today. This one always gets my attention, and I'm always studying towards it. I haven't learned everything about it. I'm still learning. I'll even share things that God is showing me now with this one, as long as I've studied it for a long time, but I'm still learning this. And I think I pursue it so much because I desire that, to experience this peace from God. And then I want you to, as your pastor, I want you to experience this. I know so many are going through so many hard things, and I pray the peace of God for teachers, right? I want teachers to experience that, okay? So if indeed then the peace of God is there for us and to us from God, why don't we experience it more often? So I personalize that and ask myself, well, in my writing, because most of you, typically I'm writing and God's speaking to me, and then I'm just sharing overflow what God's taught me. You know, I'm learning, sharing with you. So I ask myself, gosh, why don't I? You know, and especially when stressful things come up, you know, and I get anxious or angry or whatever, you know, something of the flesh, you know, and I'm like, why can't I just experience God's peace? So I wrote down some answers to my, and maybe you can relate to these, things why I know I don't experience the peace of God. Why don't we? Why don't I? Number one, because I tend to dwell on the wrong things. In those situations where the storms start to rage, you know, and the disciples got scared and they were focused on the way, I do the same. I tend to focus on maybe the waves and the storm and the wind, and that's never going to lead me to peace. Two, sometimes I think I sit back and I expect God just to give it to me. Now, you know, well, come on. I mean, the peace of God, you say, you give it to me, it's a gift, leave it, well, I'm ready. Just come. But when you look at the scriptures and you study this, this is the tension that I still wrestle with. When it comes to the peace of God, what I'm going to show you today is there's this tension. There is certainly, it is from, let the peace of Christ, and we're going to see that he gives that to us. But the healthy tension is, I have a part in this. I'm going to show you that, Colossians 3:15, in letting the peace of Christ rule. I have a part in it. So that's the healthy tension. I still pray about that. Where is that? I lean sometimes one way or lean the other. I'm still trying to find that healthy tension to make sure I'm doing my part. I know God's always going to do his part daily. Sometimes we sit back and we expect God to do everything. We skip our time with God daily. You know, we may get in it. Skip one day, two, three, four, and that's going to lead me away from the peace of God. We stop praying. We start worshiping. Stop fellowshipping with God's people. Sometimes we're looking in the wrong places for peace. Sometimes we believe the wrong things. We start to think it's impossible. This situation, I mean, this one, there's no way I'm going to experience the peace of God. We start to buy that. And then we give in to Satan's schemes. And then sometimes we let other things, whatever the circumstances, you fill in the blank, we let them become big and God then becomes small. He doesn't, but in our minds he does. And so that's when the anxiety kicks in, and that's when the peace leaves and the fear overtakes and the anger or whatever. And so when we go then to, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts to which you were called in one body. So I put on your notes there, it includes both the concept of agreement and bond, if you will, in terms of peace. And also it includes that of an attitude of rest or security, which is what I want to key in on today. Now, both are in view. Now, it plays out in three ways. Okay, stay with me. This is groundwork, and then we're going to jump into takeaway number one. So it plays out in three ways. We talk about the peace of God. Number one, first of all, it's not in your outline, but first of all, he's speaking primarily from Colossians 1:20. I think as he's writing this, he first and foremost points back to Colossians 1:20, which says this, "For in him," talking about in Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace," there it is, "by the blood of his cross." So first and foremost, he's pointing back to the peace we have with God in Christ. Right? So he's pointing back to the gospel. We're always going to get there. It's always going to point back to that. Right? And so as we move forward, in order to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, it flows from a recognition and gospel thinking first. And that's what he's talking about first, is remember, he's saying back to Colossians 1:20, what God has done for us in Christ. And if you start your train of thought with the gospel, then as I shared with you before, gospel thinking, then you begin to understand and see that the same God with the heart that bought salvation for me through Jesus is the same God with the heart that will make provision for me in everything else that is before me. That's gospel thinking. And that's where he starts when he talks about. And when you embrace that, it gives you peace. That the peace of Christ rules. Second, though, that's the first and foremost. Second, then, he's talking about the peace that shapes how we relate to one another. And that's much of what's happening here, because he's speaking to Colossians, and the church at Colossians, and the false teachers were causing division. He was wanting to bring unity, so he said, put on love, binds everything together. And now he says, let Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. So he's saying, in the body of Christ, let peace rule. Because when you do that, man, that brings unity, that brings togetherness, when you let the peace of Christ rule in your life. So he's talking about how we relate to one another. And then last, it's a peace that's independent of circumstances. So that's the peace, which is an attitude of rest and security, regardless of what is going on around you. So how do we get there? Takeaway number one, if you're taking notes. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do not look to the world for it, for this peace. This says very clear, and that's the part where I just touched on, is let the peace of Christ rule. So the word let, I think that means we're in play here. We have a part here. It's like let, allow it, or maybe you won't let it. So that's where that tension is. It's a gift from God, but you have to let it, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts. We're going to talk about how to do that in just a minute. So the peace of Christ, not talking about the world's peace, not talking about the peace of walking along the beach at the sunset with the ocean coming in, and it's like 79 degrees, man. I love that stuff, okay? And you can find peace, but I'm going to tell you, when you get in the car and head home with four little kids, that peace is gone. You know what I'm saying? That's the peace of the world. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't find some peaceful things in this world that help you calm down. That's okay to do that. But don't look to those things to rule, right? To constantly give you peace. It's all circumstantially based. Circumstantially related. And sometimes we look to those things more than we do letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Clear. Again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying you don't do things that help you calm down and experience peace, you know, peaceful situation. Turn all the everything off in the house, just sit still by yourself. The kids are gone. You know, walk by the beach, take a walk, whatever else it is. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. I need to find some things that give me peace. And we start to do that more than the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, because the other stuff is like this. And so what God says, what Jesus says, this peace is, don't look to the world for it. Don't let it rule. You can enjoy these things I've given you and I've made, but don't try to let those things rule in your heart. Don't give those things your heart. They won't be lasting. I want to take you to John 14, verse 27, and I want to show you the connection here. The peace Jesus talks about is the same peace Paul writes about in Colossians chapter 3, where Jesus says to his disciples before he's getting ready to be crucified, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. There it is. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So the last hours of his life, Jesus is helping the disciples and you and me not be anxious. He looks into their face and he said, I think he's saying, you look troubled, you look worried, you look confused, I do not want to leave you this way. I give you this peace. Don't be. It comes from him, not as he said, not as the world gives, but as I give to you. Now, how does the world give? I already mentioned just one small example. And again, it's not that the world, you know, the things that God gives us to ultimately is from God, but these things are not what we look to for peace. How does the world give? The world gives peace with retirement accounts, which are good. I have one. We all need them. There's nothing wrong with that. But the world gives peace through health insurance. The world gives peace through bomb shelters. The world gives peace through safety nets in society. The world gives peace with police. The world gives peace of mind in 100 different ways, and I'm thankful for all of those. But those things are not to rule in your life when it comes to peace and to you finding that peace. Jesus says, I'm not giving that way. That's not what I'm doing. This peace that I give is not circumstantially sensitive, man. It is. And he goes on in John 14, verse 27, 29. I want you to see three things, and then I'm going to move to the next point. Three things in this. You're going to see what he wants for the disciples and what he wants for you and I in his last hours. Is he wants them to have peace, he wants them to have joy, and he wants them to have faith. Those three things. And that's what you see in John 14, 27 through 29, where he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. So there's the second one. So we have peace, and then we have joy. You would have rejoiced. Because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. There's the third one, there's faith. So these are the things that he gives that he wants them and us to have. The peace that I give, the joy that I give, and the faith that I give. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So that's the God part, if you will. When I said there's this tension, so clearly we have it biblically defined. This is what he's giving to us. That's not something we earn, but this is what he gives to us, and we're dialing in on the peace part. Now, takeaway number two is more of our part. This is what I think. This is where we make choices and to work with God. He always does his part to experience where we define Christ. So let's go on. This is one verse. And let the peace of Christ, so we define that, so we're looking there for it, rule in your heart. So the last two things, takeaway number two is going to focus on rule. Takeaway number three is going to focus on heart. So takeaway number two, let peace make the call. That's what he's saying. Rule in your hearts. So the word rule in the original language, Greek language, is where we get our word umpire or judge, right? So let the peace of Christ rule. Let peace make the call. So the umpire, in the context of that baseball game, has the authority to make the call, right? And so let's just say you're watching the baseball game. The batter gets the hit. The guy on second turns the quarter on third. He's heading home. The outfielder's throwing it in. You see there's going to be the play at home plate. And he's running, and the throw's coming in, and he slides, and the catcher has the ball, and he tags him. And at that very moment, everybody's looking at one person. The umpire. They want to see the call. And 50% of the people are going to be unhappy and ticked off because of the call. It's not going to go their way. But he makes the call. Safe or out. Now, as he is making that call, even, or as it's happening, he's going to hear all kinds of voices about it. You know what I'm saying? Safe, out. Did you see that? He missed him. All this stuff's coming in. But he makes a call. He ultimately makes that decision, right? It's his call. Now, it's the same for us when it comes to let the peace of Christ make the call. So when we get into that whatever circumstance, whether it's financial health, marriage, kids, whatever, all right, and peace is hard to come by, if we're going to let peace make the call, then we can't listen to my anger. I can't listen to my fear. I can't listen to my anxiety. I can't listen to all these things that are wanting to make the call. Because I ultimately, this is our part, I make the call. That's that tension I wrestle with. Like, well, God, I just assume you make the call for me, God. Just give me that peace. And God says, I'm giving, just like the new life. So I think the same tenor, right, with the new life, he describes in Colossians chapter 3, that we have to put it on, right? He's not every day just putting that all on us. Now, go get him. We have to put on, he says over and over, Ephesians 4, Paul says put on, we have to put that on. Same thing with this peace, I think, that we have to, same idea, is that we have to choose to let peace make the call. Let the peace of Christ make the call. Now, one of the things that God has shown me on this issue that I wrote down in my notes is in more the form of a question. So maybe you can relate to this. And here's a question I wrote down. When it comes to the peace of Christ ruling in my heart, do I want to understand and control everything in my life? Or do I want the peace of God? Because I can't have it both ways. I can't have it both ways. I would like to say, I'll tell you, so here's how I have dialogue with God in my relationship. Just show me the plan, and once I know the plan and how it's all going to work, then I will let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. That kind of thing. I want all the knowledge. I want to know how it's all going to go, and then I can have the peace of Christ. But it doesn't work that way. In addition, many times, knowledge just complicates things. But his peace simplifies it. And so if I'm going to choose to let peace make the call, and I'm going to ultimately trust the sovereignty of God on how this plays out. And I don't have to know all the details or exactly why. Give me the why. Explain why you let it happen, as though if he would just explain it all, why it happened, the bad, if he would just explain all why it all happened, then I would have peace. That's unrealistic. We think that, right? You still have the loss. Still without the person. But we think that if you would just read me in on this, God. But that, again, that just complicates. So it comes to that place that I'm going to choose to let peace make the call. Kent Hughes says this. He says, how much misery would we avoid if we permitted the peace of Christ to umpire in our hearts? How many words would we hold back if he were the arbitrator in our lives? How many sleepless nights would we forego if we did that? How the church, he says, needs this too, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So our part is we choose to let peace make the call. Last, number three, is this. It's a heart issue, right? So it's not just knowledge. Certainly we need the knowledge, but we can know all about the peace of God, and that's kind of where I think sometimes I get off is I know a lot about the peace of God, the knowledge, but it's a heart issue. It needs to get into my heart, not just read the scripture and know about it. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, this last thing I would tell you, I'm going to go Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read this. A lot of times, you know, we only hear this at Christmas time typically, but It's applicable. I think it makes a point I want to show you, and there's other places in Scripture that do too, but for time's sake, Luke 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the key to experiencing the peace of God in your life, letting the peace of God, Christ, rule, is that you, the key is keeping together the glory of God and the peace of man. You cannot separate the two. So here's what I mean by that. If I'm not careful, I will passionately pursue the peace of God. I pray for peace. I want peace. Show me your peace. Give me your peace. I need your peace. I want your peace. And I'm pursuing the peace of God. And the problem with that, although good intentions, is that if I'm focusing too much on pursuing the peace of God, more so than pursuing God himself. So this passage right here keeps them together. If I say I don't have any interest in or any love for or admiration or treasuring the glory of God, I just want the peace, then we're not going to experience that because you can't separate the two. So when we, in whatever we face, and I'm not trying to minimize or downplay the depth of struggle you may be going through, but whatever that is before us, when we choose to respond in a way that will glorify God, in other words, I'm going to walk through this thing in obedience to God in a way that will glorify him, then we will experience the peace of God. That's why you can't separate these two. I can't have the peace of God without having God. I can't have the peace of God without seeking to glorify God through the way that I walk through this valley, through the way that I handle this difficult situation. And that's how we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, by walking in obedience. And as you begin to walk in obedience and glorify God, whatever it is that is before you, you begin to experience the peace of God. And you're choosing to let the peace of Christ rule in your life. A heart focused on showing the glory of God will always know the peace of God. Psalm 23, I finished. My time's up, sorry. I finished with this. In Psalm 23, a familiar, I know for probably most everybody, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The one thing, so David, as he wrote that, you know, he was a shepherd, right? And so he used these analogies of the Lord is a shepherd, and then he played it out as he is a shepherd with his sheep. And so this, as you study it, man, there's this great depth in there. And so the one thing that quieted and reassured the sheep more than anything else was the presence of the wind in the field. And when the shepherd was in the field, the sheep would lie down in green pastures. The presence of their protector, provider, and comforter brought them peace like nothing else could. And so when we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then we let the peace of Christ make the call in our hearts. Let's pray together. Our time's got to stand. Will you stand with me as we pray? And so, Father, I'm praying that what was shared today, the scriptures and your truth, God, will settle into our hearts, that you continue to teach us today, Lord, what it means to let your peace rule in our hearts. And I pray that we truly experience that. That this truth of Colossians 3:15 comes alive in our hearts. That we choose to let your peace make the call, and we truly experience that this day, this week. Changes us, transforms us. thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for Jesus. So we sing now and worship in response, God, to your word and to your faithfulness and your goodness. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.